Well, it's so good to be here this morning, and I'm not saying something spiritual, I'm just sort of talking. It is really good to be up here with you all, and I noticed your land is so flat up here. We live where it's hills and curves and lots of hills. When our daughter comes down, she said, "Oh, Mom, I got sick coming, you know." I said, "From what?" And she said, "The hills." And I said, "What hills?" You know, you get used to them and till you're back up here and see all this flat land, and wow, it's flat. But I was raised down in the hills, so I feel right at home down there. And God's been good to us these last few years that we've been down there. We're just so appreciative of his goodness, his mercy, and his love, and we just depend on him daily, and he's never failed us, and he never will. I'm so glad that we have a God that we serve that is alive and well. He knows everything that's going on in your life, in my life. He don't ever have to say, "Well, now, what's happening there? What shall I do?" And, you know, he's got the answer before we even have the question. Such a good God, and we have just been privileged to be in the presence of God in some of our churches down there. We're in a place where, well, it was called the Bible Belt. I guess it still is, you know. And every place you go, the town of Branson, and I'm sure maybe most of you've heard of it. I don't know whether you have, but there's hundreds of people come down there in the summer. And you go in the restaurants, and they talk about God, and they talk about the love of country and the love of God, and, you know, it's a good place to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're all maybe way up here with God, but they grew up, you know, knowing God and still honor him, and so that's good to be around, and I've enjoyed that. Anyway, we're just so glad to be here with you all today and know that God's got good things for you. And we appreciate the privilege of getting to see you all. And I thought about saying something about the old faces, meaning, you know, it's good to see you again. But then I noticed Tracy said something about old faces. So I guess it... But I decided I would choose familiar faces instead of old. So God bless you. Is this on?
Hey, sound like I'm coming now. We have enjoyed being down in the Missouri area. It's the area where my wife was raised as a young lady, and not where I met her. I met her way out in Wyoming. But when I was 14 years old, we just celebrated 54 years last September. So thank God for that. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of John, chapter 1, St. John, chapter 1. Somehow or another, this Christmas season has brought a little different impact to me, and need to tell you about how I've been feeling about it this year. By the way, it started a little early. I mean, noticed all the Christmas stuff up even before Thanksgiving. I mean, yeah. Halloween, even before Halloween, not only before Thanksgiving, but before Halloween, it was up. Okay, the book of John, chapter 1, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Then verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Father, we ask you this morning to speak to us through your word. Speak to us by your Spirit. Let it go up and down the aisles of this church. Speak to every heart today. Challenge us, Father, to be who we ought to be in you, to recognize what you are doing in us and with us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So good to see a lot of you today. A lot of familiar, my wife's coaching me, familiar faces. But so good to see you. I want us to kind of get a picture before I start sharing with you some things. I felt like the Lord had woke me up about 3 weeks ago. I kind of knew the weather was going to be good, although we was kind of holding off thinking the weather, never know, you know. But about 3 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit woke me up in the morning and began to lay on my heart some things I'm going to share with you today. Things that I believe is so important today. And Dean, where's Dean? She's out right at the moment. She sent a little note to me here recently, and she said this. She said, Pastor, we're so looking forward to you coming and hearing the word that you have for our church. Now, I've never known Dean to say something like that before. But it just, in my own heart, was such a confirmation of how the Lord had begun to deal with me about what this day would be. I'm looking forward to being with my daughter, my son, my grandchildren, other friends, but I guess because of what's been going on in my heart the last 3 weeks, probably more important, I'm glad to be right here at this time and at this moment, because I believe it's part of God's plan. Nothing I desire more than to be right in the middle of his plan, where he wants me doing what he wants me to do. And I think that should be important to all of us, especially in the day and time we're living in. So this morning I want you to take a picture of what we just read in the Bible. This appears to be God and Jesus in God's presence in the homeroom. And as John said, they were there. The Father and the Son, the Word of God. And I got a hunch, I believe they've always worked together, don't you? Father and Son, believe that they always have. I can almost picture in my mind that all of a sudden, a very, 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 very important time and specific situation was to happen. How many know that God's got timing? How many know that there's an appointed time that all should die, and then the judgment? God's got a judgment for us all. There's a judgment day coming. Called the white throne judgment. Not going to get out of that. That's just part of what's out there. So God's always had timings. But this was the time that he was looking upon the earth. Several thousand years had gone by. He watched man. He intervened. He interacted. He shunned. He turned away from mankind at different times because of their sin and their reproach. And all of a sudden, him and Jesus in the throne room, and God's bringing up to Jesus, this is the time. I made a promise way back when Adam and Eve failed in the garden. And when I spoke to them, I told them that there was going to be the seed of a woman that would destroy the works of the devil. But here was what? How many years? 4,000 years later, it was still just like it was. A lot of times have passed. But Father and the Son in heaven sinned, and God evidently revealing to Jesus, this is the time. How many know there's some things that Jesus don't know that only God knows? The Bible says he don't know the day and hour that he's coming. We're talking about the rapture, the return of the Lord in the rapture. Jesus says, I don't know when that day is. Only the Father knows. Well, I got a hunch this is one of them times. Jesus knew there was going to be a time, but he didn't know when. And as I picture this in the book of John, they're together in the throne room saying, and God saying to Jesus, I think it's time. I promised that the seed of the woman would come to destroy that which Satan has wrought upon the earth. There was a time I need to redeem men back to me. And the only way that that can happen is for me to send a sacrifice in their place. Amen? So here they are. I want you to get this picture. I don't have any Bible for this at all, but I see it inside of my heart. And I see Jesus turning to the Father, reaching up and taking off his crown. King Jesus, okay?
Yes.
Taking off his crown and handing it to the Father. Handing it to the Father. And saying, very likely the same thing he said upon the cross, or he said actually in the garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I picture Jesus handing his crown to the Father to leave his place on the throne with the Father to say, I'll do it. Because of that, this Christmas has meant more to me than it has for a long, long time. I kept seeing things. I kept seeing flowers. I kept seeing candles. I kept seeing Christmas trees. I kept seeing songs. I keep seeing all kinds of Christmas decorations. I've seen Santas and sleighs and reindeers and everything, but they all look different this year. You know why? Because everything about it is in celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. I thought, I'm kind of a simple guy, so I didn't go to the Greek, and I didn't go to the Hebrew, and I didn't go to the lexicon, and I didn't go to Strong's and Gordon's. I went to Daniel Webster. That works for me. I'm simple enough. I said, Daniel Webster? Now, this is on my little phone. Daniel Webster, I got Daniel's Webster dictionary in my phone. I said, Daniel, what does Christmas mean? And you know what he said? He said, it's a Christian holiday. Daniel Webster says, it's a Christian holiday that is celebrated on December 25th in honor of the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Christmas is all about. Daniel said so. And I believe it. It's a Christian holiday. And every time I hear a Christmas song, every time I see a Christmas flower, every time I see a Christmas tree, every time I see a Santa, I know he's already talked about the commercialization of it, but I'm telling you what, every bit of it, including Santa and the reindeer and the elves, is in honor of the birthday of Jesus Christ. Not in the minds of a lot of the people that's putting it out there. But in the mind of God, he's looking on the earth and looking at all the Christmas colors coming up to him in honor of his birthday. Doesn't mean that everybody's honoring it, but it does mean that's what it's all about. Amen? Blank is the reason for the season. Fill it in. Jesus is the reason for the season, but I'm going to go a little bit further. It's not only the reason for the season, but he's the reason for the lights. He's the reason for all the Christmas lights. Where I'm having trouble with this thing. I've never used one of these before. 40-some years of ministry, and the first time I ever had one of these on. All the gifts that's going to be exchanged and purchased and taken back to Walmart. Rick, you'll get your share of them after a while. A couple of weeks, you'll be wondering, what in the world is going on? Jesus is not only reason for the season, but for all of the lights, for the gifts, the time off with pay.
Amen.
He's the reason for it. If you're working on a job and they're going to give you some days off this week with pay, it's because of his birthday and no other reason.
That's right.
I'm not saying it's not any other reason in the minds of them doing it, but I'm saying it's the reason you're getting it. Because if it wasn't for his birth, you wouldn't get it. If it wasn't for Jesus coming, you will not get it. There would be no such thing as Christmas pay, Christmas bonus, or Christmas vacation. Right? No Jesus, no Christmas. But we're all taking advantage of it. All the special foods, ooh, fudge and divinity and who knows. All the special parties, your office maybe had an office party or your business or your company. Even when you go to the mall and Santa's buckets, salvation out in front. Asking for dignity. Wouldn't be none except for his birthday. Does the Salvation Army do it any other time of the year? Oh, it's because of his birthday. Are you following me, guys? When you leave this place today, I hope when you see something about Christmas, even if it's the lights on somebody's porch, you'll think it's because of his birthday. It's because of his birthday. No one on the earth or ever has been on the earth and will never be, by the way, no one's birthday is ever celebrated like the birthday of his. It's been going on for hundreds of years, thousands of years, by the way, now, to celebrate his birthday. We've had some great men and women on the earth, but none of them does the world every year dress up their back porch, their front porch, their driveway, their front window, their trees, their whatever, and decorate it all up for somebody's birthday. Do they? Nobody but him. It's because of his birthday. It's because of... Is that all right, Pastor?
That's good.
Thank you for inviting me to come. Hallelujah. It's a special chance this season that we have opportunity to give to others, giving gifts out of the abundance of our heart. Chance to get involved in the community and go serve food in a local shelter. Minister to the homeless or something. Chance to visit shut-ins. Keep that in mind, would you, this Christmas? People that maybe won't be able to come out even to the Christmas party coming up. When did you say? Was that Wednesday night, Thursday night? What? Christmas Eve service.
Christmas Eve at 5 p.m.
What day of the week?
Thursday.
Okay. Between now and Thursday, find somebody that you know is a shut-in, somebody you haven't spoken to for a long time. Just go say hi. And if you walk in there, this is something new in my heart today. And if you walk in the room and there's a wrapped Christmas present or a decorated Christmas tree, when you say to them, Merry Christmas, don't stop there. When you go into a store in this town, and I don't know how many's not going to have them, but in Branson, everybody has them. Christmas trees, name of Jesus everywhere. But that's not true everywhere, but that's true where we're hanging around a lot. But when you go in and if they have any sign, I mean if there's just one little Christmas bulb hanging over the edge of the register, and you wish that teller Merry Christmas, don't stop there. Merry Christmas to you, and I thank you, and I'm glad you're celebrating his birthday.
Amen.
There wouldn't be a Christmas bulb hanging over the register if it wasn't for Christmas.
Amen.
And what does Daniel say Christmas is? The birth of Jesus. You go into a restaurant, and somebody wishes you Merry Christmas, wish it back to him. And say, I'm glad I see you're celebrating his birthday. Oh, I know they're not in their minds, but they are in my mind. Because if it wasn't for his birthday, the lights wouldn't be those. Those flowers wouldn't be there. Those trees wouldn't be there. Those bulbs wouldn't be there, right? All right. So we have a right, and we need to be bold for the Lord, amen? Merry Christmas, and I'm glad to see you're celebrating his birthday. Might be a shock, but it's a good shock. Put it in the mind. That's what Christmas is really all about. I know that oftentimes we like to put up a sign, Jesus is the reason for the season, but put it up in your heart that every time you see a light bulb, a Christmas tree, a flower, put it in your heart. That's the reason for that tree, that bulb, that flower, because of his birthday. Amen? Is that a good word? I could stop right there, but I'm not going to. Some of you know me as long-winded, so anyway, here we go. Because unto us is born, and now, thousands of years later, here we are, gathering together, having Christmas flowers into place, having announcement about a Christmas Eve service and celebration, talking about the candles, all of it, celebrating his birthday. That's all it is, celebrating his birthday. Strange enough, all people are enjoying this celebration, even including the atheists. Whose birthday is it all about? Do you think those that don't believe in him is telling their bosses this week, I really don't want time off this week with pay? Huh? Do you think they are? Do you think that there's any workers in any company in this town that's going into their boss's office and say, I know you're wanting to pay me 3 days or 4 days or all week off for Christmas and give me a Christmas bonus? I don't want any because I don't believe in him. Oh, no. They're willing to take it. Think about it. Reality. I like Daniel Webster. It's simple. Reality. That's what it's all about. Whew, I love this. But unto us, born-again Christian believers, he is born. He's born a Savior to save us from our sin. He was born a healer to bear stripes on his back that we might be healed. He was born our provider, Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides all things for what we have need of. That's what he was born for. He was born that he would never leave us nor forsake us. That he'd stick. I've been crying. Is there any Kleenexes in this house? Get to crying, my nose get to running. He's born a Savior. He's born a healer, a provider. One that'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's one that sticks closer than a brother. He brings a peace that passes understanding. Absolutely will bring you to a place of peace and calmness. I've been told this more than once over the years over some pretty crisis situations, and I've had them say to me, Pastor, I don't even think you've got a heart. But you know what it was? It was the peace of God that was so solid in me that there was no need in getting excited. A peace that passes understanding. I had one tell me one time, you don't even have a heart. Oh, yes, I do. It's filled with the love of God. But I'm glad that I got confidence in whom I serve. I've got confidence in the promise he brought to me because he was born on Christmas. Amen? I love it. He's our advocate with the Father. He's our lawyer. He's the one that's in the presence of God at this very moment, pleading our case that the promises that the God had provided and promised would be ours. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 3. Book of St. John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. Verse Verse number 16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Do you still have that picture in your mind of Jesus reaching up and taking off the throne and handing it to the Father and said, "Let thy will be done." Jesus left his throne. He left his place with the Father to be born of a virgin on what we call his birthday. I was trying to figure it out. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. Yes, I'm going to. According to the Christmas story, it was in the sixth month. I think that's called June on our calendar. I don't know what it is on some other account. He came and said she was going to conceive by the Holy Ghost. So I'm not sure why we celebrate in December. Except it's a good winter holiday, I guess. But anyway, I'll leave that to be. My wife assured me, well, that doesn't mean she conceived right then. Then it might be 6 months later before she conceived. Whenever the Holy Spirit came upon her. I don't know. But anyway, my wife was trying to help me to understand why it might be December 25th. But anyway, I shouldn't have got there, Pastor. I shouldn't have said that. Raised too many questions, didn't it? All right, sorry about that. Get the picture. Jesus handed his crown to the Father. Said, "Thy will be done." For God so loved the world, he accepted the crown from his Son and laid it aside for a season. Not forever, for a season, because he was also promised not only to come, but he was promised to be what? Easter Sunday morning. Resurrected. Not only was he promised to come and take away our sins and bear our sins and sorrows and our sicknesses and our diseases and all the things that he came for, the Father knew there was going to be a day that he was going to rise again, and he again was going to sit at his right hand. And I can almost see right now that when Jesus got there, the Father reaching down, picking up the crown that Jesus gave him before that Christmas day and set it back on the head of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. He's our advocate. He's our one that stands between us and the Father at this very moment. He's called our advocate or lawyer, the pleader of our case. He's still there. For God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God so loved the world, he did this. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light. Remember what it said in John 1:1? Jesus was the light, and the light of men. Jesus was the light. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For even in everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. And then the writer, John, explained what that meant. That he was the light. Chapter 1, he said he came on, verse 14, that light that was the light of men came into the world. That light now shines in the world. It was made available to us. There's a bluegrass. I'm down where they play a lot of bluegrass. Bluegrass song that says, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. I saw the light. He was the light. Oh, here we go. I'll go get my guitar if you'll sing it to him. Love sent Jesus on that Christmas Eve. And the reason that love sent him was to make the promise of the Father available to mankind, to his creation. And that puts us in the place where we are today, available. It's made available to us. Romans 8:32, it says this, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Everything that the Father has, Jesus came and said, "I'm going to make it available to you." I hope that you're living in some of his promises. In fact, I'd like to say that you're living in all of his promises. His promises are great and amen. They're wonderful. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to change directions here a little bit because I think it's important. And I feel like this was part of what the Lord was speaking to me about the other morning. Christianity is under attack by the spirit of Antichrist. Used to be only around Christmas time that we'd begin to hear little complaints about a nativity scene being in the wrong place or prayer given or a song said, a Christmas song said, nativity scenes was condemned, and used to be that. And then several years ago we began to see, instead of Merry Christmas, it said Merry Xmas. And I've seen some religious folks trying to explain all about that X thing, but I'm just telling you, all it did was take the word Christ out of Christmas. For a reason, the spirit of Antichrist. A few years ago, we heard a lot, even some of the big box stores kept saying they don't say Merry or Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas anymore. What do they say? Happy Holidays! I got news. If it wasn't for the birth of Christ, there wouldn't even be one. If it wasn't for the birth of Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be the holiday. So even when I hear somebody say, "Have happy holidays," I think about Jesus. I think about the promise. I think about celebrating his birthday. And I could answer one of those people very easily with my own and say, "Well, Merry Christmas to you, and I'm glad to see that Christmas tree over there in celebration of his birthday." Come on, go to Home Depot. Not very far from the stand, checkout stands, is a Christmas tree all decorated, lights coming on and off and pretty. You have a right to say that there. Merry Christmas, and I'm glad to see you all celebrating his birthday. Well, that's just Christmas. Oh, yeah, but they wouldn't even be a Christmas thing if it wasn't for Christ and his birthday. Does that sound okay? Sounds okay. Maybe your place of work. I heard that. Then we've seen the removal of the Ten Commandments on public property. Many trying to take "In God We Trust" off of our monies. No prayer in schools. We see the Pledge of Allegiance. Many leaving out the term "under God." And then a few years ago, there was a clincher for me. One of them. There's been two things that just blew like a bomb. I heard our president, the president of the United States, stand before the Muslim Brotherhood and declare that America is not a Christian nation. I heard his words. It's not hearsay. I heard him say it. I've seen him say it. I wasn't there, but I've seen the tape played over and over again. Just literally, my heart just dropped when he told the Muslim Brotherhood that America was no longer a Christian nation. Now, I want you to know that the Muslim Brotherhood had been around for a long, long time. They are the instigators of jihad, instigator of the Muslim religion taking over the world. They're the instigators of that. I don't care what other group you might call them. I can't even think of some of their names other than ISIS right at the moment, other groups that is out there. But it's that same vision, that same Antichrist spirit vision that is there, to remove. I don't know. I've read and seen some documentary about World War II and World War I and World War, and different, you know, Korea and different ones, but I've never known that a soldier in one of those wars ever walking in their place and want to know if you're a Christian. And if you're not, I've never known that. Because there's behind all of this a spirit. It's a very spiritual warfare that's going on. And I think the only people that I know of that have an answer to that type of warfare is the Christian, if they can just get a hold of the spirit of intercession. If they can just get a hold of the spirit of prayer that God would have them pray. That if they would shut themselves in a place and say, God, how do you want me to pray about this situation? We're the only ones that has any kind of an answer. But I'm going to go on for it because I'm not seeing much happen in that way, but I want to talk about this a little bit. I realized at that time when I heard him say that, oh, by the way, the second thing that cleansed us was when they passed same-sex marriage. So contrary to God and his word. It's an abomination in the sight of God. No excuses offered. Abomination in the sight of God. Homosexuality, the whole scene is an abomination, and it's the same spirit behind that that's trying to take away. You know, our nation was created and was established when those people came over here on boats how do you want to call it? Well, they established even our government in America on, I'm trying to think how Judeo-Christian ethics and morals. That was brought from God, from countries that had a form of God, but they wanted to get away from that. Now, I know that some people believe that it was established because we weren't supposed to have religion, but it wasn't the free from religion, it was the freedom of religion. They were fleeing. I'm going to use England for an example, Ireland as well. They were fleeing from the state church, the one that was influenced. And by the way, it was that same state church that dressed up as knights of the round table and conquered different parts of the world, that state church. That's part of the reason that Jews and Israelis have a hard time with Christianity is because of the remembrances of the day that they marched into the land that we know as Canaan land and took control of it with crosses on their breastplates and their flags. A wrong thing, probably with the wrong motive, but nonetheless, that's what people came over here for, to flee that church. People from Spain come into our land because there was a state-run, state religion, state church in that land. When the leader of that land, I'll name it, it's Catholicism, was there. I appreciated when I met Paul. And Paul told me about, after being over there, that he was able to have an opportunity to serve and be with an apostle. Wasn't the typical Spaniard. Gypsies, right? He was a gypsy. An apostle. I think he had something like 300 churches or something like that underneath him, all over Spain. You see, back in the 1960s, when the Holy Spirit moved in our land, we called it the charismatic movement. And most of us as full gospels and Pentecostals, we backed up in the corner. No way. So God just went right on by us. It's true. And when the Holy Spirit came to Spain, the state church says no. So it starts settling in the pockets of the gypsies that dared receive the moving of the Holy Ghost. And Pastor Paul had the privilege of being under that apostle that had all of these churches. In fact, he's the one who married you and Lisa, right? He's the one that married Pastor Luisa out of that. But you see, when the state church reject the move of God, I don't mean God's not going to move. But he found it in the hearts of the gypsies in the nation of Spain to embrace the power of the Holy Ghost during the charismatic time. Those are interesting truths, aren't they? Kind of interesting. I like that. Things like that. I didn't know I was going to say that, but it's kind of good. I remember that. But the people was fleeing from those kind of places so they could have freedom of religion. The changes that's taken place in our nation over the last 20 years, especially the last 10 years or so, it's just amazing to me. I don't know how any true born-again believer that's in prayer and in a intimate relationship with the Father cannot be alarmed in his heart, seeing the things coming upon the earth. Did you know the Bible prophesied in the New Testament that men's heart would fail them? Not because they drank the wrong drink or ate the wrong food or took the wrong medication. It's going to fail them because of what? The things that was coming upon the earth. Fear was going to grip their hearts and cause them to die on the spot because of some of the things that's coming. And I'm here not as a prophet of doom, but a prophet of victory to tell you that it's going to get worse and not better. It's going to get worse and not better. It really is. Things we're seeing now, the persecution against the church. We think persecution, they didn't dislike us when we went into that workplace and we had a cross around our neck and they said we had to take it off. We thought that was really persecution. Right now over there, families are sitting and watching their kids being beheaded in their midst because their kids refused to deny Christ. That's far away from somebody saying you can't wear that cross or that t-shirt in our place of business. I can't hardly picture a young family watching their kids getting their heads cut off in front of them because of their stand for Christ. And it's those same people that wants our nation too. But I'm going to end it right there because I want to let you know, even though that's what they want and that's their goal, it's not really going to happen. Because when things get so bad, and people begin to cry out and say, peace, peace, we got to have some peace over this terrible, terrible stuff that's going on in our nation. There's going to be a man that walks to the scene. And he said, I've got the answer. I've been empowered. In fact, out there somewhere right down the road is a false prophet that's even calling fire out of heaven to prove to you that I'm the man that will bring peace to you. And the majority of the world is going to fall for that man of peace. Because he's not the Prince of Peace. He's the Antichrist. And he's going to put a stop to all of this. Because there's going to be such a deception power given to him and his false prophet that even like people like this ISIS, Islamic terrorists, and that Islamic, all of that's going to fall by the wayside because he's going to set up a one world scene. But you know what that tells me? That's one of the signs that says we're going to know when Jesus is about to come. Amen. It's when we see that man of seeing be revealed. So, I'm here to tell you today, even though we've got all of this negative stuff going on, don't fret your heart if your heart's right with God. Because it's not, I read the end of the book, Jesse. We win. I read the end of the book. We win. And if I'm beheaded because of an ISIS guy as a believer, so be it. Such a peace that passes understanding has gripped my heart as I've wrestled with this torment of all this negative stuff and all this stuff going out there, watching men fear and watching figure out people's going to do this and do that. I'm telling you what, I still trust a God that's in control. I trust a God that's still big enough. Amen? And that's where I'm at today, and I just want to come and tell you that. Now, I'm not here to say, you know, don't think about any thought what's coming, because it may come by your door. Amen. So you better take a thought about what's happening out there. Amen. And I would hate to think that it might even be your kids. That they would try to come and take. How would it be as a mom to sit there and watch your children's head be cut off because of not denying Christ? Wouldn't that be hard? But I have such a place of honor and respect for those parents and those kids to take their stand. And I believe that we here in America that are believers have got to settle down and take a stand in our own hearts, no matter what comes or what doesn't come, that we take a decision in our heart that me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to do it His way. And we're going to draw closer to Him. We're going to be more sensitive to His voice. We're going to be more obedient to His word. Got to. I'm still a word preacher. If this word doesn't get me to heaven, I'm not going. Because this is where my hope lies. This is where the helmet of my salvation is attached to. This is where the shield, the breastplate of righteousness is attached to. This is where the shield of faith is attached to. The sword of the Spirit is attached to this word. Your word will get you there. Right now in some nations, the church is happening to go underground. I just heard a good report the other day. Because the China church has went underground and so many people are serving the Lord that the government has even let up some of the persecution against the church in China. Because there's more people underground in the church than there is out there, and they've decided they can't win. Maybe they'll come to the decision if you can't lick them, join them. Who knows? But anyway. Deanna, do you want to come to the piano for me? Appreciate it. But when I see the idea that the man of peace, which is the Antichrist, rises to have the answer. And I told you all that does is tell me that it won't be long till I see that the Prince of Peace will be coming. Hard on his heels. In his first coming, he come together unto him, his bride. I pray that you've already made up your mind that you are now his bride. Not that you're going to be, but now. That you're already his bride. You are a part of the church, the body of Christ, his body. And when he comes, he's going to gather it unto himself. Then, shortly after that, when all is said and done, he's going to come one more time. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to set up, I'll turn this one off, okay? He's going to set up his kingdom. Come on. Where the lion lays down with the lamb. Amen? Unto us is born a Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. Delivered to us from the love of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod. And when you kissed your baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will walk again, the lame will leap and the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? Their sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Father, let us see that moment when the angel appeared to Mary. Let us see it in our minds. That Jesus, whom handed his crown to the Father and said, it be the will of the Father that he come. And we find this angel that comes unto the side of this young maiden and says to her, you've been chosen among all women. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and you shall conceive. And you shall bring forth a man-child, and his name would be Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Father, what a moment in all times. One that for now a couple thousand years or more, we have celebrated every December. At least in our lifetime we have. So, Father, this year as I look about and I see the flowers and the trees and the colors and the lights, I see it all in the celebration of the coming of the Son of God. And I want to thank you for his coming. I want to thank you that you have sent him out of the love of your heart to redeem me and to save me and to give me a chance to spend eternity with you. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this morning,